Jairam, dear listeners, and welcome to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, our series of conversations with former students of Bhagwan's educational institutions. Today we have for you the third part of the conversation with Mr. K. Arun Kumar. Hailing from Visakhapatnam in Andhra Pradesh, Arun did his graduation in civil engineering in the Indian Institute of Technology, IIT Kharagpur. In 1999, he stepped into the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning for his management degree, which he completed in 2001. And after this, he was most blessed to serve Baba at very close quarters for 4 years till 2005. During this period, following Baba's directions, he also served in Radio Sai. He currently lives and works in Hyderabad in Andhra Pradesh. In the first and the second part of this conversation, Arun shared about how he became a student in Baba's college and some of the telling moments with Bhagwan which taught invaluable lessons of life. In today's episode, he goes on to recount a couple of more such indelible moments with Swami which thrilled his being and drilled into him priceless tenets of happy living. This was recorded on July 14, 2013, and in conversation with him is Radio Sai's Bishu Prashti.
Just like you have seen, I think it's a common experience for anyone who's entered the interview room. When you are with Swami, for those few moments, you feel that, you know, God has come down from the heavens only for your sake.
Yes, yes, correct. That's
and,
right.
And whenever he's speaking to you also, you always felt that. You felt that Swami has come only for me. Because as you mentioned, he just gives himself completely. And I think if we can do that today, if you are serving someone, or today if you are, as you mentioned, even, okay, forget serving outside, but just being at home also, if we can really give ourselves completely to the members of the family, and I think even then we would have done great service in sort of living Swami's message.
Exactly.
That's something fantastic.
That's what I meant when Swami taught me the art of being happy. Not that I have perfected it, but look at Swami, you know, how happy he is in spite of everything, in spite of all his burdens and responsibilities. Can't we emulate him and be happy ourselves? Because happiness is infectious.
Yes.
Because happiness spreads. So that's why Swami always...
And we can't even actually say that, you know, okay, Swami didn't have to bother anything because he was divine.
No, not at all.
Because he did everything the way any normal human being would do. I mean, he didn't wave his hand and create the hospital.
Exactly. Resources had to... We know, having seen Swami from close quarters, the kind of administrative responsibilities that he was burdened with and the kind of man management that he had to do, keep everybody happy and do a lot of conflict resolution.
Yes.
Everybody has well-meaning intentions, but in different directions.
Yes.
How do you resolve all of them? How do you keep everybody together?
Yes.
How do you keep everybody in the same sense of direction and purpose? I mean, it's amazing.
And they're all big egos.
Yes. So, big people.
Big people.
Insiders, outsiders, and you need to put everybody motivated, you need to keep everybody on track. So it was not an easy job. I myself have seen him from very close quarters, how he had to really manage the things.
The art of man management.
Yeah, yes. But at the same time, he was totally relaxed and you couldn't see even a single sign of stress, if I may use that word. We are talking of Swami as an example for all of us to live, not as God who has descended on earth. I always make it a point. In fact, to somebody I mentioned, the thing which makes Swami so divine is not his divinity, but his humanness. That is what makes him so divine, that he's so human, so involved, and he makes you feel so happy when you are around him. That I think that's a lesson we all need to take and try to emulate so that, you know, we are living in a pleasant, positive society.
I mean, that's what he always wanted. You know, he just said, no, I separated myself from myself so that I can love myself. And here he thought that, you know, there are all these parts of me here in the world. Why are they suffering?
No,
I created everything exactly for them to be happy.
Exactly. And, you know, his declaration of avatarhood in the letter that he wrote to his brother, Seshama Raju, Akhila Manavulaku Anandam Anagurchi Rakshinchi Chundute Dikshanaku. That is the opening sentence. మీ ఆనందమే నా ఆహారము, యువర్ హ్యాపీనెస్ ఇస్ మై ఫుడ్,
బీ హ్యాపీ.
సో ఆల్ హీ వాంటెడ్ వాజ్ యూ బీ హ్యాపీ, మేక్ అదర్స్ హ్యాపీ. ద మెసేజ్ ఇస్ సింపుల్ అండ్ వీ కాంప్లికేట్ అండ్ వీ టై ఆర్ సెల్వ్స్ ఇన్ నాట్స్ అండ్ క్రియేట్ సిచ్యువేషన్స్ ఇన్ విచ్ వీ ఫోర్స్ ఆర్ సెల్వ్స్ టు బికమ్ అన్హ్యాపీ. ద ఫస్ట్ టైమ్ ఐ రియలైజ్డ్ వెన్ ఐ కేమ్ టు స్వామీస్ ఇన్స్టిట్యూట్ వాజ్ దట్ హ్యాపీనెస్ ఇస్ అ చాయిస్ అండ్ డజంట్ డిపెండ్ ఆన్ ఎక్స్టర్నల్ సర్కమ్స్టాన్సెస్,
డజంట్ డిపెండ్ ఆన్ ఎనీథింగ్ ఎక్స్టర్నల్.
ఎగ్జాక్ట్లీ. And it was truly possible, and the possibility was demonstrated by Swami. That is the message. You know, if somebody said, you be happy, and he himself was not happy, you wouldn't believe a word of his. Yes. But here he was telling you to be happy, and he was a happy-go-lucky avatar, I should say. And in every sense of it, he enjoyed his stay here, he made all of us enjoy, and I think we should continue that legacy.
And that is what will make him happy even now.
Exactly.
And only when you even now lead a life of joy, lead a life of ecstasy, lead a life of contentment, that is what will...
Exactly. And he has given us a lot of means to do that.
Yes.
He teaches us how to be content. He teaches us moderation. He teaches us how to be balanced and equanimous in life. The whole theme of the drama, which I mentioned, in which I participated, was the Pandavas. There were two parallel. One was a modern events and there was a parallel drama theme in which the Pandavas keep complaining to Krishna that they are getting difficulties always. And Krishna says, this too shall pass.
This too shall pass. That is the mantra.
That is the mantra. This too shall pass. And Swami always, in a number of his discourses, repeated that everything is a passing cloud. You know?
Yes.
Things keep coming and going. So, pleasure is an interval between two pains.
Yes.
So, he always teaches us to view this whole thing as a passing show and stay back and look at it from the perspective of not being too attached to it and trying to be cheerful and happy always.
Then they don't affect you so much.
Yeah, it's an art. It's an art and it doesn't happen overnight.
Yes.
But he teaches you by example. It sinks into you. It goes into you slowly and slowly and slowly. So one day, without realizing that he has put in so much effort, I think this is definitely the experience of everybody who's here. Their happiness quotient,
yes,
I should say, if you measure your happiness quotient when you enter into Swami's fold and measure
exactly.
it, if there is an instrument to measure it, there is definitely the quotient will show that the meter has definitely showing a higher value. So Swami has this beautiful way of managing things, and I should say he's not only joyful, he's also very mischievous.
Okay.
I'll relate to you again an incident which is pertinent in the context of a convocation drama.
Mm-hmm.
This was in 2003 when I was
drama.
Already serving Swami in Purnachandra, and that year's theme was again a theme of somebody who pines for God, who is a doctor actually. Somebody helps him with his education miraculously and he feels that it is God who helped him to finish his education, and he dedicates his life to serving the poor. But because of all this, he develops a great yearning for God. He wants to know God. He wants to see God. Who is this great force which has constantly helped me invisibly? That was the theme. So the drama started with the hero of the drama being a college boy and graduating to a doctor. That was the theme. So Swami had called me and he said, I want you to be the main character in this drama because I want somebody who looks very young. I think you will look like a college boy, so I have selected you.
So even though you had passed out of the...
But he still gave me the chance because according to him, I looked very young. So he said, okay, you become...
Fit for the role.
Yeah. And there was a scene in which the hero of the drama would one day find it unbearable and he would cry out and sing a beautiful song for the Lord, and the Lord appears in the form of Swami.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the climax. So it went on, the practice sessions went on. Swami used to call us every day and he used to listen. He told us to write the script and we sat down and wrote the script. He listened to the dialogues and he corrected them. He called us to the interview room and he used to hear us practice those lines. So he was totally involved and he was pouring a lot of attention on me. And about 3 or 4 days before the convocation drama in 2003, when Abdul Kalam was the chief guest, Swami suddenly stopped speaking to me.
Mm-hmm.
He was totally ignoring me. He would turn away his face from me. He wouldn't look at me when I was practicing. He would speak to everybody else and he would explicitly make his displeasure with me for some reason unknown to me. It was a pathetic situation. And there's not even a chance to ask him what went wrong. Did I say something wrong? Did I practice something wrong? Or what was it? We don't know. So it just went on and he just refused to speak to me.
So this was the first time it was happening to you, something like this?
Something like this, yeah. He just refused to speak to me. And even on the day of the drama, it's a convention that he comes backstage before the drama begins and blesses all the boys and makes a few comments on the costumes and all these things. And he almost wishes you best of luck. So he came and he spoke to everybody and he just didn't even look at me. He just walked away.
And you're the hero of the
drama. I was the hero and I was totally
like a zero now.
Zero. And I was like, why Swami, why are you doing this? Is this the moment to do this? How am I going to perform? And I'm totally demotivated. But we had no choice. There was the president of India and the God of the universe. And you had no choice. So we went on to the stage. I went on to the stage and I enacted the drama with a heavy heart. And Ravi was the lead singer who gave voice to me. Beautiful song. It was called Bhagwan, Bhagwan.
Yes, I've heard that song.
I think it's one of the songs which was etched in the memory of people.
Bhagwan, 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 Bhagwan.
And there, all my anguish, everything, it was really like I was singing out my heart to Bhagwan, like, what have I done wrong, you know, on the stage.
It was no more drama.
It was no more a drama. And as people told me, it came out brilliantly. And we could see later on in the video clippings that even Swami in some of the scenes was trying to control his emotions. And Abdul Kalam was trying to control his emotions. Abdul Kalam was almost in tears and Swami was offering his kerchief to him.
Oh my God.
Don't cry, don't cry. Things will be all right, you know. Everybody was emotional and then Swami came to the stage and he materialized the bracelet for me. He blessed me. He went backstage. He called the President of India. He called me and he introduced me to the President of India. And he said, this is my student. And the President of India said, I never saw anything like this in my life before. And I was on cloud nine and, you know, and in fact, one very personal thing I need to tell you that the bracelet which Swami fixed didn't fix properly. Mm-hmm. So Swami actually took the bracelet again and pressed it with his teeth and made it all right and put it on my hand. So he actually did that. And that was something that
is really something very special.
And the next day morning, again, it was continuing and everybody was, suddenly I was the hero of Prashant Nilayam.
Yes.
And everybody was like coming to me, all the big VIPs, everybody, you acted very well and all. And then Swami called me inside and said, see, this drama required that anguish for God, anguish to see God. It had to come out and it was very important because even the President of India was coming. And I intentionally didn't speak to you for 3 days because I wanted you to feel that anguish. Now it has come out very well.
Oh my God.
So
what a master director.
Yeah. So see, otherwise I had no reason not to speak to you. Nee cheta baaga cheyinchalane ee vidhamuga chesinanu. I wanted you to perform with a genuine feeling. Otherwise it will look dry. So I said, okay.
It's a great lesson even in acting, you know.
Yeah. He just created that mood. That's the reason the whole thing came so perfectly well. And he managed it so delicately and so nicely. And, you know, at the end of it, it was like a mountain lifted from my shoulders with a mischievous smile. He's telling me, you know, I did it intentionally because I wanted the emotions to come out well. So
I mean, the ways he chooses to teach you different lessons, a different kind of approach at different time.
Exactly.
So that it just remains in your head.
Exactly. So, you know, when I said Bhagwan was mischievous, you know, he has his own ways and he's such a master of human psychology.
And now whenever you think of it, you can only laugh. And
yeah, exactly.
Just
it was quite painful, the whole process. But at the end of it, he made it such a worthwhile thing.
I guess if any time in your life you're depressed, you can only think about this incident.
Exactly. So this is really one of my favorite incidents, actually, with Bhagwan and how he's such a master of dealing with people. And getting the best out of people. He knows how to get the best out of people.
Exactly.
You don't always get the best out of people by praising them. You have different ways. So Swami uses that to great perfection.
He knows what exactly is the right thing.
Exactly. So that is something that I really cherish.
So the educare continued in different fashions.
Yes, yes.
Different ways.
Yes, definitely it continued. And at the same time, apart from all this, from the aspect of his perfect human being, the perfect friend you ever had, he always constantly reminded me of his divinity, of the fact that he knew everything, of the fact that he was always aware of my innermost thoughts, that he's always with me.
Not
the assurance.
Not to intimidate you, but to only assure you.
Exactly. He never intimidated me with his omniscience. He did it so subtly. He did it so beautifully that he at once puts you to comfort with him. You can relate to him so well. At the same time, he makes you aware inside of you that, yes, he knows everything. He's inside. He's very much my indweller who knows everything. And in all this, teaching the art of happiness, I think the anchor of the happiness, the art of happiness, is the realization that Swami is always with me and Swami is always watching over me. I need not have anything to really worry. Just a couple of those experiences, because all this is interrelated, because he mixes his humanness and his divinity so beautifully that the effect of both of them are really the transformation that happens in your heart. Swami is so subtle, but it strikes the recipient so directly and so well that I would like to share one experience in which I was staying inside the Purnachandra. I used to sleep downstairs and Swami used to sleep in the first floor. I was sleeping in the ground floor exactly below Swami's bedroom. And we used to sort out thousands of incoming mail and some people used to send everything that they thought was worthy offering to God. Somebody would send CDs, somebody will send toothbrushes, somebody will send letters, somebody will send dolls. People would send all kind of things.
They relate to Swami in so many ways.
Yeah, they relate to Swami in so many ways. So one day while sorting out the mail, I got hold of a CD. It was called Creative Spiritual Visualization. It was a interesting concept.
Creative Spiritual
Visualization. So I started and Swami retired for the day and I had a Walkman with me. So I put the CD inside the CD player and I started listening. It was like there was a serene music going on in the background and there was a voice which tells you to visualize certain things as you are listening to the music. So it says, now you are in a very serene place. It's clear waters, beautiful trees around. You come and you take a bath in the serene waters. Now your body is pure. And then you visualize your guru who's coming, descending from the heaven. And he's coming and visualize that you're holding his hand and he is holding your hand. And he's taking you along with him, you know, to the higher planes and taking you on a spiritual path. That is the kind of soothing voice and you can't but visualize when that voice is coming. So I also visualized and naturally for me it was like I visualized Swami descending from the heaven and Swami holding my hand and all those things. And at the end of the thing I thought, Swami, please hold my hand always. That was the thought with which I slept. So next day morning, we all woke up and it was time for darshan. Swami used to get into the golf cart at Purnachandra. And usually I was on the other side of the golf cart. And Swami used to come take the hand of Rameshwar. He used to take the help of Rameshwar. He used to catch his hand and he used to get into the golf cart. That was the usual routine. It was fixed. Our positions were fixed. Everything was normal. Unless Swami gives instructions to the contrary, it was always like that. So that day also I totally forgot what I thought the previous night, and I was standing on the other side of the golf cart. And Swami came and he was about to climb the golf cart. And when Rameshwar gave his hand, he said, no. And he looked at me and he stretched his hand.
Wow.
Come. So I thought, what is this? Then he said, come. So I came. And he said, he took my hand and he caught it. And while getting into the golf cart, he pressed it very hard. And he gave me a smile and he just went off to the darshan. The message was very clear. Yes, I will hold your hand. And the next day onwards, the routine became very normal. I was on my side and, you know, Swami was getting into the golf cart, giving Rameshwar a chance. So, that was one day in which he made an exception, caught my hand, pressed it very hard and, you know, smiled. And so, there was not a single word exchanged between me and Swami, but I knew that it was a direct reciprocation of Swami for the prayer that I had in the previous night. So that's how subtle Swami is. And
you know, one experience like this is enough for you to...
Yeah, so it's like unmistakable, you know, for me, like, he's always there for me. And so that gives me the confidence to go on in life. And even when I went out of the ashram and I can see Swami's hand everywhere I go. I can see Swami's protective hand. Everywhere I go, I can see his influence. I can see things are being arranged for me in a way that only Swami can do. I can see that there is his guiding force. So his promise of being with me always, he is kept till date. And
as you mentioned, you know, you asked him if you can study in his university, in his institute, and he said yes. And you asked me if you can work, and he gave you both the chances.
Exactly, he gave me both the chances. And that's a very interesting experience. I think that is again another example of how Swami kept his promise, which he gave in the dream, that I'm going to work for him in his organization. So this was the time when Swami gave me the chance of walking along with him in the darshan. So I was going, doing my duty, and very happy that I had got this rare chance. But at the same time, he still didn't give me a job formally in his organization.
So we are coming to the story of how you joined Radio
Sai. Yeah, that's the story of how I actually entered into Radio Sai.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, you are listening to the third part of the conversation with K. Arun Kumar, an alumnus of Bhagwan's University, who after his graduation in IIT Kharagpur, did his MBA in Baba's University in 2001. Later, he had the opportunity to serve Bhagwan at close quarters and also work in Radio Sai for some time. Currently, he is based in Hyderabad and is involved in the activities of the Sai organization there. This was yet another episode of our series, Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories. This was recorded on July 14, 2013, and in conversation with him was Radio Sai's Bishop Rushdie. Do send your feedback to this program as always to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you and Sai Ram.